Well, good morning, my friends, and welcome to the Heritage Hour. I'm Mark Gonzalez, your pastoral encourager here in Southwest Florida, and I'm so delighted to be with you on air, online, and in media ministry for over 30 years now. So thank you for sitting with me at the feet of the Lord to listen for His heart to touch our hearts. And if you've had the chance to be with us, you know we're working our way through an 8-part series on this particular portrait of God that I see in scriptures called He is our gift giver. Oh, the Lord is indeed our gift giver who gives us 20 listed spiritual gifts, actually in 3 categories and 3 different passages in the scripture. And so if you have your Bibles, let me invite you to start making your way to over Romans chapter 12 as we are finishing up going through the 7 personal spiritual gifts here in Romans 12. We're using animal metaphors to describe them. We're coming to the last 2 of the 7 today. And then we'll be making our way in the following weeks to the positional spiritual gifts in Ephesians 4 and the situational spiritual gifts in 1 Corinthians 12. So as you're making your way over to Romans chapter 12, and then we'll be going to Luke 6. Let me just remind you that we have all of these broadcasts archived on my website at markpg.org. I call it Helping You Hear God. And on that landing page, you'll see boxes. One has articles that I've written for local publication. Then I have another one with videos, 3-minute videos on portraits of God. Another one with printed guides on all kinds of important topics to help you get through some sticky things in your church or in your life. And then there's a box that has broadcasts on it. Click on that one. And then click on Portraits of God for the series we're doing. And there you'll have the list of the most recent radio broadcasts. So, as I mentioned, we're going to be talking about these personal spiritual gifts. And as we get started, let's go before the Lord and ask Him to speak. Shall we? Lord, I'm just so grateful for the privilege of coming together with my brothers and sisters. I mean, I just love sitting at your feet with them and doing the best I can to unpack your truths that you give us in your love letters, the scriptures to us. And especially as we're looking how you have hardwired us with 2 out of the 7 gifts, it seems like in the beginning, and then as we grow in Christ-likeness, we take on more and more of the gifts. But Lord, to get to know ourselves better and to honor you by cultivating and using these gifts to serve others, and then learning to appreciate the differing combinations of gifts and others all around us. Well, Lord, that's a marvelous journey. So thank you for the privilege you give us to sit at your feet and let you speak to us heart to heart. Oh, thank you, Lord. We love you, Lord. And we pray this in the powerful name of the Lord Jesus Christ, by His precious cleansing and healing, transforming, empowering, and forgiving blood. Amen. Amen and amen. All right, my friends. Well, if you have your Bible or device open to Romans chapter 12, picking it up in verse 6, just by way of reminder, we have a list of the 7 personal spiritual gifts. In verse 6, it says this, since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith. If service, there's number 2, in his serving. Or he who teaches, there's a 3rd in teaching. He who exhorts in his exhortation. He who gives with liberality. He who leads, or administrations is another translation of that, with diligence. He who shows mercy with cheerfulness. And so it's from this particular passage we are discovering that God has created these gifts and giving them to us in differing combinations, 2 primary ones in the beginning and little dashes of the others in the beginning. But as I mentioned earlier, the more we grow in Christ-likeness, the more we take on more and more of these heart gifts, these personal gifts, as we become more like Jesus. Because he had all the gifts. So, by way of quick reminder to check your notes, here's what we've been through. We've looked at the first 5. The first 3 of them are those that are extroverts, the gift of prophecy, declaring the black and white heart truths of God. These are the born leaders, the visionaries, the bold speakers. Eagle is a great metaphor because those are strong, strong animals. And this particular metaphor reminds us that eagles look like they're always stern or angry or scowling, and their beaks and their talons, it can be very intimidating. And those with the gift of prophecy may not realize how intense and how intimidating they can come across. So we talked a lot about that in the first broadcast, along with the gift of teaching. This is explaining the comprehensive biblical insights of God. These are the lifelong learners, the ones who understand the scripture in multi-layers and in nuances and in caveats, and they have the outlines and the infographics, and they can be intimidating, not realizing it, because they are so smart and so knowledgeable and so wise when it comes to the scriptures, and the rest of us kind of feel intimidated. The third extroverted gift is the gift of exhortation, and that's motivating the body of Christ to apply or to do God's truths. Not enough just to be convicted by it, by the prophet Eagle, or to understand it comprehensively like the teacher tiger, but the exhorter dolphin. A dolphin looks like he's always smiling or she's always smiling. They're the life of the party people, the encouragers. They motivate others to do the things of God. And oh, we need all three of those. Now, they tend to be about less than 10% of the population. The rest of us are going to have combinations or stronger combinations of the final four. We looked at number four, administration, last time, and we looked at ant as the metaphor. In fact, we see that in Proverbs 6. Verse 6, go to the ant, O sluggard, and observe her ways and be wise, which having no chief, officer, or ruler, prepares her food in the summer, gathers her provision in the harvest. These are the people who organize and mobilize the body of Christ for ministry. It's one thing to be motivated to do the things of God, but then to be organized and mobilized with others in teams and with tasks, lists, and all those things. These are the people who reflexively are very organized. Their closets and their pantries and their garages are all very orderly, and they take that way of thinking into the body of Christ to help them work together to build the kingdom of God. And those with this gift can be an extrovert or an introvert. They're kind of the bridge gift. Then we talked about number five, the gift of service, doing tasks backstage for others and for God's glory. These are the workers. They love projects. They like to do their things in private. Squirrel is a good metaphor for this. We have eagles and tigers and dolphins who are the high energy people, and there's not that many that have this gift, but oh, studies are showing that these squirrels, these honeybees we're talking about, the doves we're going to be talking about today, these are all of those that are hands-on people. 84%, 14% are the administrators, about 2% are prophecy, teaching, and exhortation. 84% of the workers. Don't try to put these on stage. Try to pet a squirrel, he or she takes off. Doesn't want to be in the limelight. They're the ones who love to prepare the suppers and the meals for others, or fix things for others, or do the lawn work, or remodel, or do all the setup for church planting and all. So we need those that love to do things backstage for others and for God's glory. We need those squirrels. Love them. So now we come to number six. It's the gift of giving. I use a honeybee as a metaphor, and the definition is distributing tangible gifts of God to others in his name. Now, those with the gift of service, squirrels, they do tasks backstage, and it may involve giving away some tangible things. But those with the gift of giving, they love distributing the tangible gifts of God. Money is just one. Sometimes they have other things they want to give to others, but they love doing that. They're very, very generous. They are alert to the opportunities to help others. They typically like to do it quietly and anonymously. They don't want to show off, but they just love to give. Now, let me say, just because we have people that have an extraordinary level of generosity and a spirit of giving, like a honeybee, who, by the way, makes honey for us, a tangible thing that blesses us. That's why I thought that'd be a good metaphor. It doesn't exclude the rest of us. It doesn't excuse the rest of us from giving. I mean, we're told all the way through Scripture that we're to be generous in giving. But there are those who are particularly gifted from the get-go about it. You know, years ago when I was a young pastor and doing a church plant, we had one of the new guys that came on with his family. Was a guy named Ted. Ted had this gift of giving. He was a great guy. He had a lot of dolphin in him, so he was constantly encouraging and motivating others, had a great winsome spirit, pointed people up, very positive in saying, we can do this. But he also had a great gift of giving. He was the guy who, for example, when we had the church softball team back in those days, purely recreational. We were not cutthroat softball players, but after almost every game, if it was an early one, he said, hey, let's go get some burgers. Come on, everybody, let's go. I'm buying, let's go. And he would. He loved saying, I'm buying. He just had a generous spirit. And whenever we had particular special projects coming up, he'd quietly come to me and he'd ask, how much do we need here, Pastor? How much do we have left to go? And he loved to fill in the gaps. But he didn't want his name out there. He didn't want to be recognized on stage for it. He just had been gifted by God to be able to make good sums of money, but he knew that he was not to keep it for himself and a reservoir. No, he saw himself as a sprinkler, wanting to spread out all that lush water or cash as it was needed to do the things of God. Oh, you know people like that. They love to pick up the check. When you go out to eat, you almost can't stop them. And it's very inspiring. That generous spirit is so much like Jesus. Why? Because Jesus is generous, my friends. I love the story of the end zone of a big football game, and the local team was not doing well at all. In fact, they were having a pretty bum year, and toward the second half of the game, people were getting testy and ornery and all, and one of the guys there in the end zone, however, saw the Coke vendor coming by, followed closely by the peanut vendor, and he called down to that aisle where they were coming down the stairs and said, hey, how much for that whole tray of soft drinks? And people around were going, what? Why is he asking for the whole tray? And also, how much for that whole tray of bags of peanuts? And both of them looked at each other. Well, sir, they calculated and gave him the pretty big number. He said, all right, I want all of them. Here's the cash. What do you want? So he said, all right, who wants some free peanuts? Who wants some free Cokes? What? And people said, well, I'll take it. I'll take one. And that end zone, in those particular rows, a party broke out. They had been miserable. They had been frustrated. They had been catcalling. But now, because somebody had the gift of giving, and he decided, I'm going to buy all the Cokes and all the peanuts and give them away for free, a party erupted. I love that story. The power of one guy with a generous spirit that can absolutely change the tone of part of a football stadium when things were going sour. I love that. Hey, let me just mention one last story. We get it out of Matthew chapter 20, verses 1 through 16. And I'm going to be very honest with you. This story, this parable, this scripture bothered me for many, many years as a young man. Let me read it to you, and maybe you have felt similarly. Matthew 20, verse 1. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a denarius for the day, which was standard pay for one day's labor, he sent them into his vineyard. And then he went out about the third hour, and he saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And to those he said, you go into the vineyard also, and whatever is right, I will give you. And so they went. So the first group, by the way, was there about 6 a.m. And then at the third hour, that makes it about 9 a.m. Well, then again, in verse 5, he went at about the sixth hour and the ninth hour. So now we're at noon, then we're about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and he did the same thing. Now, verse 6, at about the 11th hour, like 1 hour before quitting time, he went out and found others standing around, and he said to them, "Why have you been standing here idle all day?" They said to him, "Because no one has hired us." And he said to them, "Well, you go into the vineyard too." Now, when evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to the foreman, "Call the laborers and pay them their wages, starting with the last group first." So when those hired about the 11th hour came, again, they only worked about 1 hour, each one received a denarius, that is, a full day's wage. And so when those hired first came, they thought, well, we're going to receive more. But each of them also received a denarius. And when they received it, they grumbled at the landowner, saying, "These who were hired last worked only 1 hour, and you made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day's work and the scorching heat." Now I'm going to stop right there, the end of verse 12. For years, I'm thinking, absolutely, I agree with them. Totally not fair. We worked, 12 hours or so. They worked one and were getting the same thing. That's just not fair. Now look at the stunning answers. Verse 13, "But he answered to one of them," that is the vineyard owner, "Friend, I am not doing you a wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius?" In other words, didn't you agree to work a full day for a full day's wage? "So take what is yours and go. But I want to give this last person the same as you. Is it not lawful for me to do what I want with what is my own? Or is your eye envious because I am generous?" Wow. Jesus is generous. God is generous. We think that the world should revolve around fair work, fair pay. Well, since when has the world ever been fair? And since when has the world ever really reflexively understood the generosity of God and even others? My friend, this kind of grace-based, not work-based generosity is the way of God. To be a honeybee, to have the gift of giving, is to recognize that it all belongs to the Lord anyway. We're temporary stewards. We get to listen for the whispers of God to be generous and give and give and give, and we can't outgive God. He looks for us to be his sprinkler heads who distribute his wealth in his way, in his time, even when the world doesn't understand it, even when the world gets so selfish they think they've been cheated. If God chooses to be more generous with others from time to time, it's all his. Oh, praise God for those who have the gift of giving. Praise God for the opportunity that as we become Christ-like, we become more and more generous and have this gift of giving manifested in our lives. It's amazing. Well, now we come to the seventh and final of these personal spiritual gifts. It's the last of the three introverted gifts. It's the gift of mercy. And of course, a dove, as opposed to the eagle for the gift of prophecy, the dove is a great metaphor for this one. These are the folks that are very sensitive. They're very compassionate. They notice those that are wallflowers or downcast and are drawn to them to encourage them. And so I define this as comforting and reassuring others of their high value in God's eyes. The gift of mercy, comforting and reassuring others of their high value in God's eyes. They notice the people who feel like they are not very important to God. They are not very gifted. They don't have much to offer. They're kind of the fifth wheel. on any vehicle. And so those with the gift of mercy notice those that are feeling very downcast or unimportant or forgotten or neglected, and they're drawn to go and to comfort and reassure them of their high value in God's eyes. And the way they speak is soft-spoken and tender and gentle. That's part of this gift, at the exact opposite end of the gift of prophecy. The eagle, who declares the black and white heart truths of God, and they screech when they talk. But doves coo when they talk. So let me see if I can illustrate this for you. So I've alluded to the fact in the last few weeks that my wife, my precious wife named Lindy, and I, we're at different ends of the spectrum as far as our original primary gifts are concerned. I had more the prophecy, teaching, exhortation gifts, the extroverted gifts, eagle, tiger, dolphin, and she had more of the latter three gifts, service, giving, and mercy, squirrel, honeybee, and dove. In other words, like the old adage says, opposites attract. Why? Because it's God's way of bringing two opposites together with completely different gift sets at the outset to be able to help each other understand a perspective of the world that's very different than the one that they've been seeing through their particular lenses. So if you're an eagle or tiger or dolphin with prophecy, teaching, and exhortation, you're looking through those lenses and you're interpreting life and people and events and statements and discussions through those lenses. But we don't see through the other lenses when we have those first three dominating, and it's the same for the others. Those that are hard or heart-wired as squirrels, honeybees, and doves, with service, giving, and mercy being mostly what's on their heart, those are the lenses they see life through. Those are the ears that they hear life through. It's like they're all different languages. Some speak eagle, some speak tiger, some speak dolphin, some ant, squirrel, honeybee. And you got to learn to speak each other's languages. So one day, for example, I got home. It's been a busy day at the church. I got home. I was pretty exhausted. And this was early in our marriage, before we had kids. And my sweetie just came up to me and just kind of casually said, "Hey, are you in the mood to go out to eat?" And I said, "Oh, honey, I'm really not. I'm exhausted. Can we just scrounge up something here?" And she said, okay, sure. So she goes off in the kitchen. And I noticed that she was kind of quiet. In fact, more quiet than normal. So sensing that, I said, "Are you okay?" Yeah, I'm fine. "No, I sense something's up." No, "and I'm fine. That's fine. I'll pull together something to eat." "Honey, I think you're upset. What's going on?" "Well, honey, I just begged you if we could go out to eat, and you just dismissed me out of hand and said no." I said, "Honey, I didn't hear you begging me to go out to eat. I just heard you say, 'Hey, are you in the mood to go out to eat?' And I'm honestly not." Well, see, that's dove speak for, "I really don't want to cook tonight. I'd rather go out to eat. Can you take me?" Because the dove is never going to say, "I don't want to cook tonight. I want to go out. Please take me out." That's too dominant for them. So on a scale of 1 to 10 regarding intensity, in her mind, she was speaking close to a 10 by simply bringing up the topic. "Do you want to go out to eat?" Hint, hint, hint. To mention it to a dove is an 8, 9, or 10. But to an eagle, that's a 1 or a 2. It's just a random question, no big deal. And so it deserves a no big deal answer. That's what I was thinking. I didn't understand the language of dove because I spoke eagle. So then I said, "Oh, honey, I'm sorry. Well, of course I'll take you out. Yeah, if that's the case, let's go." "Well, no, it's too late now." Maybe you've been there, but I understand that. She was hurt, and so she didn't want to be taken out because I was forced to. She wanted me to want to, and by dropping the hints, she thought that was plenty. She thought it was an 8, 9, or 10 on the intensity scale. I was hearing it as a 1 or a 2. So you know what? We learned that when I speak, and I wasn't speaking her rudely or out of hand in my mind, but she heard me just kind of dismissing her. When you are talking with a prophet or a teacher or exhorter, eagles, tigers, and dolphins, larger than life kind of people, they're going to always come across in 8s, 9s, and 10s. So you know what? Just divide that intensity by 2, and it's probably what they're really intending. Conversely, if you're talking to a dove, honeybee, or squirrel, mercy, giving, and service, and you're hearing 2s, 3s, and 4s, you need to double them. They're probably speaking in 6s, 7s, and 8s, and you need to give them more attention. I know it might sound a little silly, but let me tell you something. It really worked for us and helped clear up a lot of miscommunication in the years ahead. That's why it's so important to learn to speak each other's languages, especially in families and in churches and all. Our middle son had more dove in him than our older son, but I would speak to them the same, just casually and making statements and this and that and the other. And one day my wife said, you know, regarding our second son, you're wounding him, and I didn't think so. It took me 2 years to believe her, and I noticed that he was distancing himself from me in heart, and I didn't know why. And the Lord said, because you haven't listened to your dove wife, that your dove son was being hurt. Oh, my friend, learn to speak each other's languages and learn to appreciate them. That's the value of understanding these personal spiritual gifts. Well, Lord, thank you for the journey. There's so much to learn, so many people to appreciate. Thank you for our diversity in you, in Jesus. Amen. Well, I'm Mark Gonzalez, and I hope you check out my website at markpg.org. Till next time, falling in love with Jesus, our gift giver.